Well, it's a good thing that we're in the house of God this morning. It's such a blessing that you're here. It's such a blessing that he's here. God Almighty, we're just looking forward to him just sharing with you and I. I do have a T-shirt to give out today. I've already given this out to Pastor. You'll see a picture of both he and Connie. He's already mounted up. This is his shirt. So I don't want to give that away lest he will be sending out the elders to hunt me down, and I don't want that to happen, but I do have one because we're going to find out who wants to soar, who wants to mount up, who wants to have wings as eagles this morning. But let's pray. Let's ask God where he will have us to go. It's always important that he is in control. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you all the thanks and all the praise for who you are and what you are doing in our midst. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. And Father, the greatest thing in the whole wide world for us to do is to be obedient to your call and to, Father God, do those things that you placed us here on the earth to do while we have time. We are the children of the Most High God, and the world needs to see that. The world needs to know that we serve the living God. You are awesome, and we praise you. And we acknowledge you, and we just ask you, Lord God, you take over the service and do what it is that you do best. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about mounting up. As you can see on the screen there, we're going to talk about living a mounted up lifestyle. So we'll be talking a little bit about the eagle. But our text comes from Isaiah 40. 28 to 31. Let's go and look at that briefly here. Matter of fact, what Isaiah is doing is giving the children of Israel a reminder that they have a mighty God who they serve. You know, they were all kind of tangled up and bottled up and following other gods of other pagan nations. They have been in slavery and free and in bondage and in free. And before you know it, they are just living a life that was not pleasing to God. And God was letting them know through Isaiah, listen, you can't continue to do this because the judgment of God is going to come upon that sin, that rebellion. And so he was speaking to the nation of Israel, letting them know, stop. Stop doing that. Stop living that way. Stop living like the nations. Stop living like the world. Stop taking on their nature and behavior. Stop that. But Isaiah, remember, tell them that I made promises to them. I made many a promise to them through Abraham. The covenant is theirs, and I'm waiting for the promises to be poured out upon them, but they can't continue to live in sin. They can't continue to live in wickedness. They can't continue to follow false gods and idols. They got to stop that. But let them know, also Isaiah, let them know that salvation is of the Lord, that I bought them back, that I repaid for all their wrongdoing. I've restored them, I redeemed them. Let them know, because Isaiah did say that in chapter 53, showing how Jesus was going to come and pay for the sins of all the people who had fallen away from him. But the idea was that Isaiah was wanting to teach them, listen, I want you to know something, because God is wanting us to live above all this stuff. So he says, hey, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Next slide. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Next one. But those who trust in the Lord, or wait in some translation, will find new strength. They will soar high, mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. I tell you what, these past months, or I say year and a half, has been very, very challenging. It has worn people out. And the thing that is so hurting is worn the church out. we're still fragmented in so many ways. I mean, even though they're talking about COVID and social distancing, you know what? I want to get closer to God, all right? I mean, I know that there is something going on out there, but guess what? God is also real. He is my healer and my protector. He told me things were to come, but he also let me know that I can be covered by the shadow of the Almighty God. You know, so I have to also, I've taken the shots, but my faith is not in the shot. My faith is in him. I'm going to continue to walk, and I tell God, Lord, thank you for your deliverance, 24/7. Whether I know anything is going on or not, I wasn't expecting God to deliver me just because COVID hit. I've been walking in that before COVID. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm protected by your spirit. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It becomes a lifestyle. That's what mounting up. My lifestyle. Live this thing. Jesus, he became not only sin, but he took upon himself all the sickness of the world. And I sit there and look at, I said, looking at you, you've already bore that, Lord. You know, I have to get a vision of that. So instead of me getting a vision of fear, I'm getting a vision of Christ already defeated that. And every time I go out, I said, Corona, you're defeated in Jesus' name. I speak to that thing, okay? It's a lifestyle. It's something that you do not because it is convenient. It's because it's necessary, 24/7. Because the enemy is looking for opportunities to come in. I'm not, you know, if the thief is going to try to come in when I'm not watching, I'm watching. I see you. I got my eye. You know where to go, right? Because the thief don't want to show up when you're alert. All right? He want to show up when you're preoccupied. So for the last year and a half, we've been preoccupied. And one of the things I told Pastor, I said, I was so proud of both he and both Connie. I said, you know what? In the midst of all the challenges as a leader that you had to shut it down, you didn't shut it down. All the opportunities and the pressure that you had to say, well, you know, at least we're going to have a few, some people here, you still opened the door. You kept it open. You kept everything in a position where you're saying, you know what, we're going to advance forward. We're not retreating. Because what the devil has done over these last year and a half has stifled the body of Christ here in our nation. We have taken on new types of habits that has caused us to be ineffective. While this last year and a half, all the things, there was attacks going on in church anyway about our beliefs and about our standards. But a lot of things has evolved as we're seeing things take place now. It's like, where did that come from? When do we have problems identifying male and female? And you got 72 variations now. Where did that come from? You know, where it come from when, you know, you got critical race theory being all over the place, you know, and I had one of my teachers, he was always awesome. He said, you know what a theory is? He said, a theory is a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion. And I'm sitting here saying, you know, I mean, I'm looking at you, you're my white brother and sisters. You know, who told you that you were racist? Have you been eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil I told you not to eat from? Have you been listening to people who have been speaking death? Have you been listening to the accuser or the brethren and taking what he says to heart? Or are you going to listen to me? I've been redeemed by the curse of the law. You know, I'm a child of God. What are you talking about? Even if I did have problems in the past, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Oh, so you better get your mind caught up in what God is saying and rebuke people who are telling you to be like, act like, think like, and believe like. No, 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 no. I'm not going there. Where's the church stance at this time? What are we saying? We're not speaking redemption. We're speaking bondage. We're going back and being entangled again in a yoke of bondage, and we're letting the world do that. That's not my message here. Let me get into my notes here. In the past year and a half, things in this world and our nation has dramatically, you know, shifted to things that are totally unimaginable. We become mesmerized, codified, hypnotized, and rocked into complacency and compliance through COVID-19, political correctness, turmoils in our government leadership, lawlessness in the street, rebellion, global catastrophe, social change, cancel culture, the work culture, equity, equality, constant cry of racism, tolerance of acceptance of alternative lifestyle, 64 different genders identity, voice of propaganda everywhere, speaking things, exchanging the wisdom of God for the wisdom of man. We believe a truth, the lie instead of a truth. We even define what family is. You know that you can't even say mother or father. It's birth parents now. You know, I mean, things have changed. And over this year and a half, as we have been kind of, you know, being told, you better stay home. And being told, you got to close your doors. That people have been sleeping. And now we're having to gather and chase and gain ground big time that we've lost because the church has been napping. Amen. Mount up. And I'm going to tell you what that means. Wake up. Understand the particular things that the devil is using to try to weaken us, wear us down, make us complacent. We can't give him that ground. We can't allow him to have that opportunity. We are to be advancing the kingdom. I don't know if you remember in Matthew chapter 11 when you know, John the Baptist was in prison. And, you know, I imagine after you've been on the evangelistic field and you've been bringing people to repentance and preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden, I'm in jail? And I remember that dude that I baptized, and I heard the voice say, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And all of a sudden, John said, wait a minute. He said, but go ask that dude, is he the one that was to come, or do we need to look for another? All of a sudden, he became weary because situations that is opposite to what you think should be happening will wear you out. And then Jesus said, you go back and tell John the gospel is being preached. The dead is being raised up. The sick are being healed. Yes. You know, and then he went on to tell him, he said, you know, verse 12, he said, I want you to let him know this, you know, from your time, John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Yes. And the violent is taking over. In other words, in one verse, he said, the kingdom of God is under attack, or the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violent are taken by force. What he's saying there, he said, listen, tell John, I am the kingdom that God spoke about. I'm advancing, and I'm taking over, buddy. And he was wanting us to know, listen, today we are representing the kingdom of God. Instead of us advancing and taking over, we're retreating and giving into. No more. We want to mount up. We want to mount up. We're going to act like eagles, and I'm going to share with you how an eagle acts. But there are so many things going on that we are getting to realize and recognize as a church, we're having to check ourselves out. Where is my faith? Am I strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? You know, there are some, I'm telling you, get back in the church. Get off looking online. You look online when it's necessary, not convenient. You need to get in where the power of God is wanting to manifest itself among the people of God. God already said, do not forsake, but COVID. Forget COVID. COVID gets you at home as well as in the church. Where are you going to hide? You go to the grocery store. You go to the gas station. You go to work. Get yourself back where you can begin to forcefully advance in the kingdom of God. Not sit down and do nothing but become complacent. We need you. There is a great attack on the church today. We need bodies that is willing to say, we're standing. We're not giving up ground anymore. We're taking back what we lost, but we're moving forward. Kingdom, you're forcefully advanced. Let me get back to my notes. Okay, so let me do this for the sake of time, because this whole thing is designed to say we need to stand. Okay, so the Isaiah 40 is trying to get us in that position. But if you remember in verse 30, he said even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, or on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Out of all the different types of species in the Bible, you know, it's amazing that God identifies himself with two, the eagle and the lion. And I'm trying to figure out, what is it about this eagle that God looks at? Even when he delivered Israel from, you know, Egypt, he delivered them out on eagle's wings. The eagle is the only bird that can carry its young on its wings. When especially they're teaching the eagles to fly, and the eagles haven't learned to fly, to flap their wing, the mother eagle push them out the nest, and they just fall, and the mother bird comes and swoops with her wings, catches their eaglets, and takes them right back up, because she wants them to learn how to fly, how to soar, which we'll explain that here in a minute. But let's look at a few of these words here. Let's look at the word wait. The word wait primarily means to be tightly wrapped around. It means to be intertwined and twisted together. Okay? In other words, it's like this. If I'm going to wait on the Lord, most of you think it's taking a seat and just kind of twiddling your thumbs and say, okay, I'll just sit here until, you know, that's what we think wait is. Wait is not being inactive. And that's what's been happening for the last year and a half. We have been in an active church. I'm not talking about faith community. I'm talking about, you know, throughout our nation. We have been inactive because the system has told us, sit down, shut up, lock up, and don't even show up. Okay? We just been sitting there. Well, I'm watching it online. You're not watching it online. I mean, you might be looking at it like it's like looking at TV, but in reality, you know the difference. You get preoccupied. Your mind is shifting in all kind of directions. You're not focused. You're not zero in. It's not tunnel vision, okay? Right now, it's like, you know, oh, let me go ahead. Hey, Joe, can you bring me some Kool-Aid? Oh, yeah, I'm watching Pastor Joe, but, you know, I need something. I mean, it's casual. And God say, you know, we're living in the day. It's not business as usual anymore for the church, okay? It's not a casualness. The devil is gaining ground, meaning business. He's kicking butts and taking names, but my name is not going to be on this list. And your name is not going, he's not kicking my butt and taking names. Because I'm not going to let him do that. Because I'm not reacting. I'm being proactive. I'm sitting here and I'm kicking his butt and taking names before he even thinks about kicking my butt and taking names. I don't know why I said that. That came from Professor Wonder. That had to come from you. You know, stop those vibes right now. You know. So when you think about the word wait, it's like while I'm in a position, it's a position of becoming. It's a position because if I am being wrapped together and intertwined, what is it that I'm intertwining with? What is it I'm wrapping myself with? And it's like this. Let me just read from my notes here for the sake of time again. It's a change in attitude. It's an expectation and anticipation. With confidence. It's a realigning of my total trust and my dependency upon God and God alone, allowing him to take complete control of my life. Take over, God. Take it. Take over. It's my ability of learning how to focus, how to hear his voice, how to recognize his voice, how to know his voice. It's a process of transformation. It's like if I'm in a cocoon. You know, you might look at the cocoon and you think nothing has happened, but on the inside, something's forming and something's developing. I am developing. The wait is a development stage. It's you're inside a cocoon. All of a sudden, what's happening is that there is a more metamorphosis taking place. There's a change. My position changed. My direction changed. My intensity, distractions. I move distractions off the way. I'm not going to be dealing with stuff that is there to preoccupy me and take me off guard. You know, so it's a shift And I'm wrapping myself around him, you know. I'm intertwining that, you know, he and I, you know, when you look at us, it's like all I see is God, because I'm so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, and there is no way of getting loose, that what you're seeing is I'm becoming more like him. That's the weight. That's the weight. So it's being proactive. Is doing something spontaneously to change you more and more into the image of Christ, who has died for us and was raised for us. I'm becoming more like him. I'm in my cocoon. You know, so when I think about the weight and I think about the eagle is an extraordinary bird. An eagle can live up to about, this is 70 years, but in that 40th year, give or take a year or two, you know, that eagle is banged up, worn out. You know, the claws of the eagle is all dull and chipped. You know, the beak is all chipped and crooked. You know, the feathers are all tattered, you know, and sticking together. And the eagle realized and recognized the basic thing that makes the eagle effective is worn out. So the eagle, for 150 days, lives in a mountain, because they always live in a mountain. And here's the eagle. This is the eagle's weight, okay? The eagle recognized everything has to be made fresh and new. So the first thing the eagle does is bang his head against the rocks and knock off this beak. That has to be painful. I mean, until that beak is gone, all right? And then it waits for the beak to grow back. See, the beak grows back. In the waiting, something is transforming, okay? So it's not like, you know, well, just the eagle is waiting for it to come back. And when the beak comes back full strength again, the eagle takes its beak and begin to rip off the claws, because the claws are all messed up. Begin to rip out its claws, all of them. See, at this time, the eagle is vulnerable, okay? And you know what? When you're waiting on the Lord, you're depending on him to cover you. You're depending on him to protect you. What have we been doing the last year and a half? Lord, cover me. Lord, protect me. I know there's COVID out there, but greater are you, okay? Lord, you know, I'm vulnerable right now. You know, make my area safe and sound. So the eagle is depending on his spouse eagle to make sure that, you know, of course, they're in the mountains. I want you to understand this. There are no other birds that live in the mountains but the eagle. So the eagle goes up high where no other predators can come. So we should be living high where the devil is not even allowed, okay, to spend time with God. So the eagle, you know, after the beak grows back up and after they ripped out their claws, and the claws, you know, actually grows back. Then the last stage is the eagle with this beak begin to rip out each and every one of his feathers and become totally naked. Okay? And it waits for the feathers to grow back. See, everything is transforming. See, in the wait, things are changing. You know, I mean, I'm not the same person that came in that leaves. I'm a different person that came in. That's what they're waiting. We should be, we're coming out of COVID. They should see us lean, mean, and just angry at the devil and say no more. But we're sitting there, they said, I can't do this. I got to wear a mask. Like, get out of here. You know, I'm an eagle. You know, so when the eagle itself, after it has gone through the process of knocking off the beak and ripping off their claws, and the claws grow black, and ripping out all of the feathers, and waiting for the feathers to come back, and all of a sudden, here's new feathers. Got the new beak, got the new claw, have the new feathers, and at the tail, there's a little pouch with oil. And all of a sudden, it lubricates the feathers and waterproofs it, you know. And then it sits at the edge of the cliff like that. See, the eagle is one of those birds that they don't need to flap their wings to fly. They just spread their wings, and they get caught up in the current and just glide. Mount up. Mount up. That's what he did. He waited. Of course, the word renewed primarily means this. It means a transfer of strength, a transfer or an exchange. In other words, that eagle during that time had released and let go of everything that made it weak and accepted everything that is now giving it a renewed strength. As I said this morning, I said, Frank, you have a Visa card in your pocket? MasterCard? I have this expired one. Can I trade with you? Yeah. Yours is valid, right? Mine's expired. Mine's had no purchasing power. Yours has a lot, right? Can we exchange?
Maybe.
You ain't God. You're not God, man. Come on. You know, so what happens is God said, you know what? During that time, there's an exchange going on. I'm giving you my strength and taking your weaknesses. I'm giving you what makes me perfected and taking your imperfection. I'm taking your lack of faith and giving you faith. I mean, everything is a reverse. So during that waiting time, you know, I am a lean, mean eagle. In other words, you better watch out when I get ready to mount up. It's getting ready to happen. And anybody gets in my way, you're in big, big trouble, okay? It's on, okay? So the idea of renewing primarily means the idea of replacement of strength for weakness. So if I'm waiting on the Lord, I done got rid of all that old stuff like the eagle, and I got all this new stuff. Man, my hunting tools are back the way it was when I was a young eagle. I mean, my beak is sharp. I can get my prey. My claws are good. I can grab it. My wings are perfect. I can glide. You know, all of a sudden, I am renewed like I have been born again. Have you been born again?
Yes.
So you're renewed?
Yes.
Because your weight is your transformation. So you're not sitting idly by and doing nothing. You are becoming what it is that's going to make you be the kind of person ready when God says mount up. So the idea of mounting up means to ascend, to go up on high, to elevate, to get on top. The eagle is the only bird that I know that lives on top. All the other birds lives in the valley. In the valley, you know, there's a lot of problems in that valley called the world. You know, a lot of junk going on in there, you know. But the eagle doesn't live there. The eagle is born on top. And the eagle lives on top. I thought we were born of his spirit. We are God's people. So not only, you know, so when we come to the valley, we don't come to comply. We come to take over. We come to advance and put in order that which we do and live as far as the things of God is concerned. What was Jesus' prayer? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In earth, as it already is in heaven. What is our responsibility? We are to invade earth with heaven.
Amen.
That sounds like being aggressive in your lifestyle. Okay, I'm trying to get to my points here. It's a lot to really go over. But wait, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up. So here is Isaiah saying to the children, guess what? There's a transformation going to take place. There's an exchange going to take place. And there's an elevation coming. So I'm letting you know the promises of God is awesome. So where you think you were in your sins, you're coming out. And when you come out, guess where you're going? Guess what it's going to look like? That was the message Isaiah was having. Look at what God has done. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the result of that which we don't know. He knows the future. Here's the future, people. Mount up. So we're going to talk about that mount up lifestyle here. So the eagle becomes our particular, you know, example. So after 150 days, the eagle is back to business as usual. Have we been locked up for at least 150 days? The church should be coming back strong right now, knocking over all. How dare you say that I can't, in California, I can't worship and sing songs. Are you serious? Are you really serious, you know, that I have to meet in the parking lot? Are you serious? You know, I'm getting ready to mount up. We're getting ready to recognize that, you know what, COVID is not greater than God. Now, I'm not talking about being stupid, but I'm talking about don't allow yourself to become succumb to all this stuff, because it will make you ineffective. And that gives the devil the upper hand. So four ways to live a mount up lifestyle. And I'm going to get there. Number one, mount up means you are operating from a position of a renewed mind. Okay? Romans 12 says this, that, you know, the renewed mind is the thing that proves the will of God. You know, I'm sitting here saying, okay, God, what are you saying? He was saying, you know what my will is? Yeah. Didn't Jesus tell you that? That my kingdom come and be on earth as it is in heaven? Yeah. You know, and your mind, if it's being transformed, is supposed to prove that? Oh. So I should be reflecting what heaven's like on the earth. I should be living like, talking like, acting like, believing like, looking like what heaven is. So you look and say, you ain't from here. You are alien. Yeah, I'm not of this. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. Okay? You are different. Yeah, but let me show you how I became different. You know, you're all tied up, tangled up, and don't even know which way to go. Let me show you how I became free. Okay? You know, don't throw that critical race theory stuff on me. Why is that? That's the accuser of the brethren. Okay? You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I, you know, I'm a black guy, and I come down here, and I just said, you're racist and didn't even know it.
I didn't know it.
Yeah. So you're going to have to go through a training process to be, you know, and jobs are doing that. It's like, yeah, get out of my face. You know, I'm not of this world. You know, and just like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, when God said, Adam, where are you? He said, I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you you were naked?
Right.
Who told you was racist?
Yeah.
Who have you been listening to?
Right.
Have you been eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but not from the tree of life? The tree of life, there's, you know, when Paul even called out Peter. Peter was eating with the Gentiles. In Galatians chapter 20. Now, he was having a good time until his brother shows up. And then Peter kind of moved on away, you know. And Paul looked at him and said, you hypocrite. What are you doing? And Paul had to call him out. And you know that verse we in Galatians 20? I've been crucified with Christ. That was Paul telling Peter, listen, boy. You've been crucified with Christ. It's not you that live, but Christ living you. He's not racist. Okay? And then he said, you need to walk in this gospel. I don't know about you, but if somebody called me racist, then I'm not walking in the gospel. We got a problem. Because I said, no, I'm walking in the gospel. Why is that? Because, you know, I have the eyes that my Father has. Matter of fact, he made all of you and me. And in the different variations and colors. We all came from Noah, from Adam. Okay? Boy, and I'm sitting here, it's like, what is the problem? Who you been listening to? Who you been talking to? Because in that waiting, I'm supposed to be listening to God. In my waiting, in my renewing aspect, I'm supposed to be tied up, tangled. So I'm not going to take on what everybody else, what the world wants me to think, believe, and act like. No, 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 no. And if it costs you something, it costs you something. But the thing is, as a church, we got to stand because we are greater. There's more with them, more with us than they with them. Okay? But as long as we're fragmented and we're disproportionate, you know, and we're walking in the same drumbeat, then the church effectiveness is not the way it could be or should be. But let me get back. So, number one way, renew the mind. Change your thought, change your perspective from this world and begin to see the kingdom as God sees it and begin to allow your behavior to bring the invasion, to prove the will of God. That's the renew. So it's mounting up, I'm thinking different. I'm not thinking like the way I used to. Matter of fact, you know what? I think I'm beginning to start thinking like God. And that scares you, let it scare you. I'm beginning to think like Jesus, you know? And don't tell me anything differently, because I would not receive that and let that thought get into my mind any way, shape, form, or fashion. The second thing is that the mount up means that I put myself in a position that I'm yielded to God. Because see, mount up pretty much means to be lifted up. You know, when the eagle mounts up, it's the wind that lifts up. They're in total yielding to the elements of the wind. If the breath of the Spirit is blowing, yield. Just spread your wings. You know what? Birds who are flapping, that's your own energy, your own effort, your own ability. This is all God. Because there's nothing I'm doing but just choo, and the forces of the wind is moving me and allowing me to glide. You don't see the eagle flying in the mountains doing this. They're just doing this. They're like the airplanes. I haven't seen a flapping wing on the airplane yet. Hopefully we won't, because that means you're going down. So the idea is this, is that, you know, mount up means, have a renewed mind, being yielded, letting God carry you in his strength and his ability. Okay? It's not by our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit. And another name for the Holy Spirit is pneuma, which means wind, breath. So let the Holy Spirit, let's go, y'all. Let's get it on. That was Marvin Gaye, I think, back in the day. I just thought I'd just add that in there, just, you know, for a disclaimer now. So when you start looking at number three, let me move on. Number three, living up a mountain lifestyle means this, that I am never at the bottom. I'm always on the top. In other words, if you remember what God told his people in Deuteronomy 28, he said, if you listen to these commandments of the Lord that I'm giving you today, chapter 28, verse 13, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. See, an eagle don't live in the valley. The eagle lives in the mountain. Why are you in the valley? You know, I was laughing one time that when people were sitting back and saying, you know, especially those guys or girls, they're looking for someone in their life, you know, they're valley hunting instead of mountain hunting. In other words, they'll marry somebody from the valley and expect to be on top. Okay? Because the world will give you a picture of what you think looks good. And the question you need to ask, do you live on a mountain? Right. What are you talking about? Hey, I don't need you. you don't even know the difference. Are you mounted up? Do you soar like an eagle? Huh? Okay, next. You know, because you realize and recognize they ain't going where you're going. Right. Okay? So the thing about an eagle is this. An eagle only is around other eagles. Eagles don't hang around any other birds but eagles. Who are you hanging around? Because who you hang around, that's what you end up becoming and embracing. You know, eagles hang with eagles. And I was so glad that Pastor Joe and Pastor Connie decided to say, we're still meeting. So the eagle showed up. I'm hanging out with the eagles. Why? Because this eagle still want to soar. I'm soaring too, okay? I know we were still doing things. We were trying to do things in wisdom, but what wisdom is going to end up taking over the wisdom of God? We have to say, ho. There's a limit here, okay? Because you're not trying to, you're trying to take over now. You're trying to change this paradigm where, you know, I'm okay with my, you know, lackadaisical relationship with God. It's okay. It's in cruise control. No. It's not in cruise control. My wife and I, we went to Colorado to spend some time. We celebrated our 40th anniversary, and she wanted to see some mountains. And while we were driving, I didn't even recognize. I put the car on cruise control. And I'm just, you know, chilling, going down the road, and all of a sudden, cruise control just, I said, what's going on here? And I didn't recognize, oh, this thing is on a sensor. You know, it lets me know that there's so much distance between the car in front of me that the cruise control need to disengage. You know, I'm sitting here, it's like, I've been driving for all these many years, and I know the difference when I need to actually slow down because of the distance of a car. So now I have something telling me when to slow down. And it not only tells me, it makes me slow down. So I'm sitting here, it's like, is that what happened today? I'm being told and being made, sit down, quiet, shut up, okay? Your voice has been heard enough. There's a new thing happening called the will of man. You know, there's a new definition called cultural shift. That stuff that God used to talk about, it's not even relevant anymore. Okay, that's obsolete. You know, so we're in this automatic slowdown mode that all these things in this that our world has placed us in. But trying to get back to my notes. So mounting up is the eagle lives in the mountains, always lives in the mountains, have a mountain lifestyle, always is above. Even when they're being renewed to their strength, they're not being renewed in the valley. They're being renewed in the top. They're being renewed in the high and lifted up area. In other words, if I'm going to be renewed, I better get renewed where God is. You know, I can't be renewed. If I need a shift or a change in something that is happening to me, I can't go to the valley and talk to the therapist. You know, I need to go to the mountain and talk to the prophet. I need to go to the mountain and talk to God. Because when it's all said and done, everything else is temporary fixed in the valley, but it's permanently fixed in the mountain. So the eagle knew, you know, only way I can be renewed. And the other thing about an eagle is this, and I'm going to finish it up. The only thing eagle about this is this. The eagle doesn't stay on the ground. Even when it gets its prey, it comes down, swoops, picks it up, and take it right back up to the mountain. The main predator or the main enemy of the eagle is the condor. That's a little bit bigger than the eagle, has a little bit wider wingspan than the eagle. And the only way that the condor can successfully overcome an eagle is to catch the eagle on the ground. But if the eagle is in flight, the condor is no match. Why is that? Number one, when the eagle flies, the eagle has two sets of eyes. You know, and the eagle's eyes are so sharp, they can see like binoculars, but the eyes of the eagle is able to also work like sunglasses. When the eagle flies, it flies directly to the sun. Its flight goes directly to the light. Is our walk going directly to the light sometime? When the enemy comes against us, I'm going to the light. I'm not going to darkness. I'm going to the light because, see, the devil don't want to be exposed. You know, and I'm not going to allow him to get me in his backyard to kill, steal, and destroy. So the eagle begins to fly, and as it goes up, it continues to elevate and continues to fly toward the sun. The condor gets all messed up because it can't do that. It cannot look at the sun. The eagle's eyes are... the sun becomes more and more focused. Oh, look at that sun. And the eagle and the condor is blinded. So the eagle flies toward their strength. That is their offensive weapon. Our offensive weapon is the Lord God Almighty. You know, we run. It comes smack dab in the face of God. So when things come against us, even COVID, I don't care if I had it. Greater is you that is in me, Lord, than you that is in the world. I thank you, Father God, that you are greater and that you also taken this. And Jesus, we're going to take the communion meal. You've already taken this. You were beaten, you know, and you became sin. Not only became sin, but also you bore my sickness into my disease. And I'm sitting here and I'm constantly telling COVID what I know. I'm not denying it's reality of it being real, but I'm trying to say to them, I'm not going to meditate on that. I got a renewed mind, and my mind say, keep thinking God. My mind is saying, think what he wants you to think and let it overtake you. Be intertwined. Be tangled up. and allow it to take over. Don't allow fear to take over. And I'm telling you to do stupid things, okay? I'm not telling you to be irresponsible, but I'm telling you where your focus needs to be primarily directed on. And it's He and He alone who is your Redeemer, who is your Deliverer, who is your Protector, who is your Healer, and you need to be locked in on that because that's the only sure thing you got. That's all you have. Everything else is temporary and superficial. So, mount up means I'm on top. I'm a leader, okay? That's what it means. We were born to lead. We were born to be on top. So an eagle is in an accelerated position. We should be excelling because there is nothing about God that's diminishing. We should be better as a Christian today than we were last month. We should be better fathers, better mothers, better husbands, better employees than we were last year. Why? Because we're eagles. We're excelling. We're always excelling because that's the way our Father is. Okay? And I live on top. So if I say as a church, we should be the ones in the world that have the best marriages. We should be the leaders in the world that have the best families. We should be the leaders in the world that, you know, when they see us in government, things gets in order. Okay? They hear common sense from us, all right? Not that stuff that people are stuck on stupid and trying to get you stuck on it too. You know, we should be leaders in businesses. We should be leaders in education, leaders in the media, and leaders in living the moral lifestyle. We should be leaders in showing what commitment and honesty and fidelity looks like. We should be leaders in eliminating what people call racial differences. There are no such thing as white church and black church, Puerto Rican church, and all the other kinds. We made that because we made our culture dominant and not the kingdom culture dominant. Okay? In other words, God said, if you live a redemptive life, it's going to look like what heaven going to look like. All nations of all creeds and all colors. Why is that? Because you're mounted up. See, you're going and you're elevating and you're living in a life in an area where everybody else, they're still in the valley. So they're trying to get you into the valley mentality when it's like, no, I'm going back down there. So you can't tell me I'm racist. Why? I live on a mountain. You're still in the valley. There may be racism in the valley, but there's nothing in the mountain. We're above that, okay? And not only that, you know, my mind is renewed. I'm a proof to you the will of God. What are you talking about? Because, see, there is no racism or division or anything in heaven. There is no inequality. There is no inequity. There is no difference. I mean, you're sitting back and it's like, wait a minute. So I'm reflecting that. Let me show you what heaven is like. Watch me. Sound like James Brown. Watch me. I got it. No, you can't. That's old school. I don't know why I even brought that up. But it's like, watch me. God wants the world to be watching us. Woo, look at them. They watch us either to be like us or hate us, one or the other. There is no middle of the road. So you have the mount up lifestyle. The mount up lifestyle, again, and I'm going to get to number four. The mount up lifestyle, again, is to get your position of a renewed mind, to yield into the point of allowing God to lift you up. You're lifted up, you know, elevated. You're carried by Him. Number three is that you have an on-top mentality. I'm not a bottom mentality. I'm not a valley person. I'm a mountain person. And the fourth thing is that, you know what? I got to start seeing like God sees. Mounting up means that I have the ability to see. All right? One thing about an eagle has tremendous sight. It can see for miles, and it's so sharp. It can see a little mouse miles away, hiding behind, you know, some leaf or some rubbish. It can see it because the eagle's eyes, you can't, no predators can, no, none of his prey can camouflage himself with anything. Its eyes is too sharp. They see additional colors that we don't see as human beings. And it zeroes in. It zeroes in. Its focus is so targeted that it sees it clearly, and it zooms down, grabs and go. And they can grab things that is either two or three times, you know, bigger as far as weight than they are. That's how strong their claws are. That's how strong their ability to fly and be lifted up is. In other words, they're unlimited in their in certain abilities. God is sitting there saying, is greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? So why are you letting this little thing stumble you? Why are you worried about this little thing, you know? Did you not set your affection on things which are above? Where's your affection at? Where's your mind at? Where's your thought? And I'm sitting here saying, God, you know, I need an ego mentality. Yeah, you do. Because the characteristics that you see there is my characteristics that I gave them because they're my characteristics. So even, you know, look like something. I mean, it's like, I see you, devil. Why is that? Because I got the eyes of an eagle. God has given me I can see darkness because I'm light. And light is coming. That means you got to get out of my way because you have nothing in me. So I come with light. I'm not hiding my light under a bushel. I'm letting my light so shine. So it's supernatural. You know, this whole lifestyle is supernatural in how we are to live. And when you're mounting up, you want to realize and recognize, it, you know, it's God in me.
Hallelujah.
Okay? It's he. Like Jesus said, you know, if you see me, you've seen the Father.
That's
a bold statement. The works that I do, you know, the Father does it through me. But also he said to me, he said, you know, I'm going back and I'm going to send a comforter. And guess what? The works that you see me do, you're going to do also and greater. Why is that? Because I'm mounted up.
Yeah.
You know, and think about Jesus. When we get ready to take the communion, when he broke the bread and gave the cup and told him we're going to do this again when we get together in the kingdom. Next thing they see Jesus mounting up as he goes to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. He said, guys, I want you to live a mounted up lifestyle. I don't want you to live below you. I want you to live a lifestyle that is like my lifestyle, that people will know that there is nothing that they will see in you that they don't know and see in me, and there will be no mistake at all. Who you are and who you belong to. So I have a mounted up, soaring with wings of eagles. Who's a mounted up believer this morning? Are you one? Get your, see, she raised her hand up first. See, that wing went up, didn't it? There you go. Come and get your shirt. That wing went up. See, some of you guys are still flapping. See, she want to fly. But God is good. He wants us to have a lifestyle that transcends all kind of lifestyle because he lives on the inside of us and he deserves for us to make him look good. What he did for you and I on the cross, what Jesus did, you know, I want to make sure that Paul mentioned, you know, I mean, you look at me, you see the fruit of the Spirit, you know, instead of the work of the flesh. Why? Because I'm working hard to crucify that flesh. Why? Because people in the mountains know how to crucify. People in the valley, you know, flesh is all over the place. But God is good. You guys are great. God has a work for you. We have to regain what we've lost and take over more than what we had gained before we lost it. We have to be proactive in the things that God has called you and I to be in. We got to rise up. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. You know, doing this. Let God take you to places and do things that you know it's only by him that this could happen. And have fun with the flight. And soar from on high. Because that's who you were born to be. Father, I just give you thanks and I give you praise. You are a good God, a mighty God. We thank you so, so much. You've invested a lot in us through your son. God, you came down. You left your dominion and came down and closed yourself in this body, this human form, to take my sins, to take my judgment, to give me the opportunity to receive a redemptive lifestyle, a forgiven lifestyle, a life that is filled with many great and precious promises. I thank you. And it's not temporary. It's eternal. It's forever. And I don't even know how to even define forever. But it never stops. It gets better and better and better. I thank you for what you invested in me. So, Father, help us so that we can give you a return back on your investment in showing this world who we are in you, Jesus. And not hide that, not be ashamed of that. Father, I thank you. As we're living in a day where there's a lot of shaking going on, that which can be shaken is being shaken, and that which will remain will remain. I'm looking at myself and say, that which can be shaken that needs to fall off, you fall off now so I can know exactly what I need to do, like that eagle in the mountain. I need to tear off my beak, rip off my claws, and pluck out my feathers in order for everything brand new, reborn to take place so I can be that lean, mean flying machine that you intended for me to be in the days and age we're living in. The world needs eagles now, Lord God. They don't need sparrows. They don't need buzzards. They need eagles. And here at Faith Community, Lord God, you have came to the eagle's nest. And we are ready to spread our wings so that we can mount up, rise up, lift up, elevate ourselves up, so that we can be everything that you intend us to be in this earth while we are here. Your kingdom come. Yes. Your will be done. Yes. Utilizing us on earth as it already is in heaven. We want to give them a test ride before the millennial reign of Christ. You know what it is to be in God? Let me show you. Look at my life and what God is doing. And you can have the same. So there may be somebody out there, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I want to mount up. I want wings as eagles. All you do simply is to say, Lord God Almighty, I thank you that you came in the likeness of your Son. And Jesus, who was badly bruised and beaten and hung upon the cross and died in my place. And 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth took my punishment and was raised from the dead. And now sits at the right hand of the Father, the Most High God. And he has given me, he's taken my expired card and given me a valid one. That now, Father God, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm born of your Spirit. I'm made new again. All that old thing has passed away. It don't even exist. There's no record of it anymore. Everything has become new. All you got to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. You are God. You are Lord. And I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. And you got your wings. Yes. We're ready to fly with eagles. So let's get ready. Let's get on the out there like the plane. Let's taxi upon the runway. And God's voice say, take off. And we're on our way. So thank you, Lord, for those who have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to take off. Get yourself together in an eagle church so that you can fly. And you can become what eagles become and enjoy what God has created us to be. In Jesus' name. Now, one of the things that we want to do this today is like, you know, eagles, here's the thing about eagles. Eagles don't eat dead food. They only eat live, fresh food. Okay? You know, so they don't eat roadkill. Like buzzards, okay? We're not roadkill people. We're fresh people. The communion, the bread, and the cup, this is eagle food. This is fresh because we serve a risen and alive Christ. We don't serve a dead God. Okay? We serve a God who is right now alive and well. A Savior who is sitting right next to the Father, raised from the dead. So God is letting us know this. I want you to stand, and I want you to come down and begin to take the elements with you back to your seat. We're going to rise up as eagles, and we're going to eat eagle food today in the bread, which deals with the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just come on down the center aisle. We're going to proclaim, as the Bible already says, that, you know, by his stripes, we are healed. So when you take the bread, become entangled, entwined, wrapped up in the fact that I serve a healing God. And not only is God a healer, but God is all about health, okay? In other words, you know, sickness and disease should fall down right in my presence because the presence of God is in me. So I'm taking the bread. Thank you, Lord, that you took the time out to know that I needed emotional healing. I needed physical healing. Definitely healing in my spirit. You took it all. Regardless of your past, regardless of the mistakes that you've made and the things that you in your natural mind, you know, makes you feel ashamed, realize, give it to Jesus. Let him take it. It's not even yours anymore. Okay? That way the enemy can't come and keep saying to you stuff that gets you to keep picking things up. It don't even belong to me. I gave it to Jesus. That's what the bread means. By his stripes, I am. That's the position. You know, the same night that he was betrayed, sitting with the disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he told his disciples, take this, eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. In other words, God's sitting there saying, I became badgered. I paid a heavy price for you to have the right to be healed. There's something about rights. Rights only come from God. If a right comes from men, men can take it back. But when God gives you a right, it's permanent because he doesn't change. I got the right to call upon Jehovah Rapha. I have the right to expect. Am I waiting? It's an anticipation. It's a waiting. Okay. It's dealing with the idea of expecting. So in my position, I am becoming more and more and more a person that is embracing and taking hold. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, that bread, this is mine. This is my covenant promise. So today, let's take this and receive what the promise of the body broken for you meant, and allow you to accept them and enjoy the blessings of it. In the same manner, he took the cup, which represented his blood that was going to be shed for many, in order for the judgment of God to come upon him instead of on me. In order for me, I mean, he gave me the valid Visa card and I gave him the expired one. He gave me a newness of life and I gave him a life that, you know, was no good. I gave him death. He gave me life. It's not a bad exchange. This blood right here, the cup. I am going to give you life everlasting. I'm going to pay for your sins that no longer will they be accounted to you. You'll be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your account says righteousness. That means pretty much that you are completely 100% restored to its totality, like the eagle. Full wings again, nice beak, nice claws, as though the eagle was born from a brand new eagle. Everything is new. God saying, this is the newness of your life. Enjoy it. Don't let nobody make you think that you don't have it. I've redeemed you by my blood. Enjoy the benefits of redemption. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, even right now in Christ Jesus. It's not tomorrow, it's now. All because of this. So today, let's take the cup together and enjoy the fruits of redemption. So Father, we thank you so much. We thank you. I want you to put the picture up of our pastor and Miss Connie. They're mounted up. Even though they're, these are two eagles you've enjoyed being around, right? And they've enjoyed being around you. Tell you what, let's live on the mountaintop together as a church. Let's give into the valley. God is good. Stand on your feet. He's awesome. He's mighty. He's powerful. You're awesome because you've been made from him. Father, I thank you for the day that you have made. I thank you for your people of God that you've called by your name. I thank you, Lord God, as we go forth from this place today, they're going to be mounted up. They're going to be eagle Christians. They're going to be at the top. They're going to be at the head. They're not going to be satisfied and no longer dwelling and becoming valley people because you have not called us to be that. Thank you for this day. Thank you that throughout the week, Lord God, let our light so shine that men will see the works in us but glorify you. Let our attitude bring them to a point of a realization that they see our lives and want to know what makes us different. We can tell them it's Jesus Christ and lead them to the Lord. So, Father God, we're going forth from this place. And every minute of the hour, every hour of the day, every day of the week this week, we're going higher. And the person that I am right now is going to be more elevated than the person that I'm becoming as time goes on. And I'll never be the same because I'm constantly growing in you. And that is unlimited. Let me become. Let me put on Christ. Let me reflect that in everything that I do. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your week.